Welcome to Real Women, Courageous Wisdom, a podcast featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others. Real Women, Courageous Wisdom, because every woman has a story. Welcome to Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. I'm your host, Kara Bradley. Today, we're speaking with Lisa Cohn. Lisa is a leadership consultant, an executive coach, an author, and a yogi. She is a very consistent contributor to Women for One as a really fantastic truth teller, wonderful writer, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with her. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Kara. It's great to be here with you.
Great. And thank you for all of your contributions to Women for One. I know you have a very consistent blog. You write a couple of times a week, and it's always very personal. I appreciate just reading your personal story and what inspires you. So I ask you, what inspires you to share your story? How does it help you in your life?
It's funny. It's kind of a two-pronged answer. So my story, I share my story because I have one of those eclectic, weird, gasp when you hear it kind of backgrounds. And I started sharing because I started writing a memoir many years ago. And it felt like if I can tell my story and somebody else gets hope out of it, then it's all worth it. Then it's all really, really, really okay. And then I keep doing it because one, I love to write. And two, every time I think, why the heck am I doing this? Somebody reaches out, somebody stops me. I hear from someone who says, God, thank you for that story. It really touched me. It really resonated with me. And I think that's why I do it, because it's my personal stuff, but it resonates for other people. And that brings me joy.
Yeah, that's great. And I have to say, I feel the same way. Sometimes I'm writing a blog and I'm like, what am I doing this? I think the only person reading this may be my mother, and I'm not even sure about that. But mm-hmm. then out of the blue, someone's like, oh, I just read that blog and, you know, it came to me at the exact right time. And so that's what we do. And that's what we do at Women for One, is to share with people from all over the world. So can you tell us a little bit about this gasp when you hear it background of yours?
Yeah, I told one friend a couple years ago when I first met her, and she said, Kad, you seem so normal. So the two-sentence way I describe my childhood is the best seats I ever had at Madison Square Garden, which is the huge arena in the middle of New York City, was at my mother's wedding. It was an arranged multi-mass wedding, Reverend Summing Moon, 2,800 couples. She was there. I was in the best seats in the house. And the best cocaine, excuse me, I ever got from my in my life was from my father's friend, the judge. So I was I had these contrasting cult, puritanical, bizarre, out there in the media childhood with my mom and the Moonies, and then sex, drugs, and rock and roll, hippie in the East Village of New York City with my dad. So it was eclectic.
Yeah, I think so. And now you practice yoga.
And now I practice yoga, and I have a lot of things to blog about.
And you have a lot of things to blog about, which, you know, so many of us, I think as women, we don't realize how colorful our lives are. You know, we always think somebody else has the story. But when you really look at your life and all your experiences, boy, you know, there's a lot to write about and a lot to share.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. A lot of perspective, a lot of insight, a lot of heart.
So your perspective on your life now, looking back at your childhood, which was very colorful, how has that changed how you walk through the world, parent, work, lead, etc.?
It affects everything. The way I describe it, another quick story, a number of years ago, I'm driving home with my husband. We've been in New York City hanging out with my high school friends and driving home to pick up our kids. And I say, don't you just stop every now and then and think about how lucky you are and how amazing life is? And he goes, no, not really. And to my credit, I didn't take it personally. But that's, I think, how it affects me, is it makes me have such appreciation and awe at little things and the big things. I have an amazing life. I have a wonderful husband. I have amazing two kids. I have a great business. I love what I do. I love to write. I'm very blessed. And it's given me incredible amounts of appreciation, daily on a daily basis for even just the basic things in life like that.
Yeah, that's great. And now, do you share any of that, your history or not, but this sense of the awe in the ordinary with the people that you consult with?
Whenever and however they let me, and sometimes they remind me. So I was with a client yesterday, and he said something about he's working on being intentional. And I said, "Well, yeah, you stop before you get your feet hit the ground in the morning. Stop and think about what you want to be in that day and how you want to show up." And he said, "Oh, you do that every day?" I said, "No, but I should." And I did it this morning. So yeah, I do whenever they let me. With some clients, I share my background, but it's kind of weird to share. But I do share the perspective whenever they will go there because, in my humble opinion, it makes life better, right? Simple as that. And then from the leadership side, if people can show up as stronger leaders because we can show up as stronger, wholer people when we have a sense of awe.
That's great. And in your sharing with Women for One, your insights, your little personal stories about your interactions with your children, I mean, they're just beautiful. So if you're listening, and near a computer, or next time you go onto the Women for One site, you should check out some of Lisa's blogs because they're really very sweet and very simple. That's what I love about your writing. It's very, very simple.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us some of your simple wisdom. Some of the things that you just have to remind yourself about every day, that you tell your clients, that you tell your friends.
That I taught my daughter, that my son won't listen to. So the simple things I try and live by is in every moment I have a choice. So even in my worst moments, and sometimes I have times now that I think are my worst moments, I have a choice. Maybe for not how I feel in the moment, but what I do with it, and often for how long I stay in it. I have a, choice to be in the moment or not. So in my work life, we talk about thoughtful leadership, and it's being present, being intentional, and being authentic. And that's what I try and share and what I try and live. So in this moment, I have a choice. Am I here? How do I want to be? What can I notice? How can I shift the way I'm thinking to see things, to give myself ease? I work on coming from love. Even in the corporate world, don't tell any of my clients that, right? But years ago, I was taught my only job is to love my clients and to provide that space. So I try and do that with most people I come in contact with. It's often easier when they're like farther away from you, right? But even with the people in my daily life, how can I come from love and see with love? I try to live in joy. I try to find things that bring me joy. I was in coaching, we talk about reserves, and I was on a coaching call with a bunch of coaches talking about reserves of love. And it's like, yeah, I cannot have enough love in my life. I was once told, you never got love when you were a kid, so you have this need for love. And it may be true, but I go through my life trying to build those reserves so I can feel like I have no love, or I can hug my son and I can make him hug me back, or whatever, or I can look at the trees. So it's really about using my brain in a way to appreciate and to love and to be present. And even in the sorrow, to be present for it, or the pain, but to know that in this moment I'm okay. I'm really okay. So, and that's kind of what I share with clients and kind of how I show up and how I'm showing up.
So, if you were to share with our audience, maybe you can go in a little bit more in depth about this love reserve, which I like the visual of that. Could you give us a little bit of advice when we're feeling kind of depleted and down and just exhausted from the pace of life, how we can remember that we have these reserves that we can tap into and really live from, perhaps.
So what I do and what I've learned, a couple of things. In the moments that are good, I soak it in hard. That's what, if you ask my daughter says, that's what my mom has taught me, to soak it in hard. When the sun is shining or the breeze is on my skin, or I'm hugging my son, or we're curled up watching Doctor Who, I soak it in physically, viscerally, emotionally, trying to remember it so that in my hard times I can remember it, right? So I can have that to call back. I soothe myself. I'm a very physical person. I keep talking about hugs, and I love getting them, but there's not always someone to give me one, right? So I've learned to curl up with a cup of tea, stop and read a book for 5 minutes, breathe, meditate, get under the blanket, put on my cozy slippers, anything that can self-comfort and create that space. And I do believe in a power greater than myself. I do believe in something, right? An essence. And I call that love. I've often been known to call it God with a little G, to separate it from all the ones I grew up with. And I tap into that. So I see that. I choose to see that. I look for that in anything and everything I can, right? From trees. Trees against a blue sky, nothing gets me out of a bad mood better than looking at the trees against a blue sky, right? It's that, or that sort of thing, just finding it in nature, finding something either within me or bigger than me that reminds me, and when I've gone through recent past some really, really tough times, I learned to just touch where I was. It's mindfulness, right? You know this, you teach this, feel where I am and know that in this exact instant, I am okay. I'm fine. I'm breathing. I'm here.
That's
That's
great.
that puts it in perspective.
Yeah, so I love what you're saying, 'cause I feel like I live very much that way. I call them glimpses. I write about it a lot. Just these, we have these glimpses all day long. These glimpses, these moments of wonder. You're right. For me, it's the, it's the tree, it's the trees, the sky. It's the way the sun hits a building. It's the way my dog looks at me. It's these moments, very, very ordinary moments, but these moments of just aliveness where it if you really sat with it, the world would sit still for a moment for you to show up and experience it fully. I find that I am so in awe all day long. In fact, I often say I cry once at least every day because there is something that is just so beautiful that takes my breath away. But I wasn't always like that. I think it's a real slowing down process to get us to the point where we realize, as you said, everything is going to be okay. My mantra is all is well. All is well right now.
Right now.
So yeah, so if we could perhaps in you and I talking about this, perhaps help anybody else out there that's listening to just pause, 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 pause more and more all day long. Yes.
You know what I love? I love, you call it glimpses and they're there, but we miss them, right? So easily. It's like, it's really, I'm learning that the brain is a muscle and that we really have the ability to make ourselves look at it. So it's really that choice, that active practice of doing it, right? And the pause doesn't have to be long. I have an ongoing discussion with someone over which is better, the I'm gonna get them wrong because I said the hare or the tortoise, right? And they always go, the tortoise wins, because I'm more of a hare. I go, go, go. And I decided I'm a tortoise, right? I love my energy. I love your energy, right? And then there are times where I choose. So it's being in choice. Do I want to pause and be slow, or do I want to notice it while I'm running? And because I run, right? And so it's really choosing and pausing and noticing what's there for us to see, as opposed to mindlessly going by and not even being open to it.
Yeah, that's great. So I like to call that being fully alive.
Yes.
It's really showing up and being fully alive every day. Not worrying so much about the plans, the to-do lists, the future. And it's all important. Hey, listen, we all have to work and get things done, but we can also experience life fully while getting things done.
My client who I was talking to intention about the first time we talked about it, I said, yeah, so you could start the day saying, today I'm going to really provide, I could start, provide value for each one of my clients when I talk to them. I can make sure that I absolutely love my son tons when I'm with him, and I can really enjoy each moment. And he said, wow, you do that? And I guess, and again, I said, no, but I should, right? But it's really choosing to be present for and be fully alive in each moment as it were graced with it.
Yes. So how did you come to this all? Because you, like you said, you were brought up with this in this crazy environment with all these, different cults and hippies and New York City, nonetheless, to even just navigate New York City as a young adult is pretty incredible. So how did that all evolve where you are now sitting as a leadership consultant and an executive coach and an author? How does that happen?
So yeah, that's my childhood. Then you fast forward a little bit and I leave the church, and it is devastatingly difficult. And I, don't even know that anything's wrong with my upbringing. And I go through my own, I skirt it all. I go get into anorexia, manage to be okay. And I get very close to addicted to cocaine and manage to be okay. And I end up in very abusive relationships and managed to get out. And I almost crash and burn many times, and stumble into a 12-step program many, many, many years ago. I don't even want to count right now, almost 30 years ago. And go, oh, like I didn't even realize that the voices, the tapes inside me, which left alone back then, could be so destructive and so punitive. I didn't even realize that they were there, right? I did not even realize. And that process through, many rooms and sharing my story and coming up with options and slogans and models and beliefs and spiritual studying and yoga and practice and growing and learning and never doing it, always doing it kind of a little bit differently because I need to be very careful of rules because of my childhood, because I can be very rigid when there are rules. It's been an ongoing process. And I, many years ago was lucky enough to get my MBA in Columbia's executive MBA program and discover the disciplines and now which I work and hung out a shingle in 95 and doing leadership training and started doing coaching and realized it's what I've been doing all along, right? And I go into corporations and share these basic, simple truths, along as with a lot of other business truths, right? So it's really evolved. It's been an ongoing spiritual journey of quest, right? Yeah, because I did not get enough love when I was a kid, and I do need too much love from too many people, and that doesn't work, right? So how do I find it in myself and in the world so that I don't need it from people in a not helpful way, right? So it's been this ongoing quest to, once I realized that, yeah, maybe this wasn't the best thing, how do I heal from that stuff? And how do I even appreciate that stuff and what I got there? So
Wow, that's beautiful.
thank you.
Yeah. It's simple. It's really simple, allowing really the unfolding of this journey to happen. I'm sure it was there were highs and lows, but you're so bright and so grounded. And so, can you give us some advice? I mean, you give advice all day long and you're helping people become more successful in their jobs and communicate more effectively and produce better and all that kind of stuff. So our Women for One audience is listening to you, Lisa Cohn, as a real woman with courageous wisdom. What could you wish for us as women around the globe if there was one or two things that you could just offer us something to nibble on for the rest of our day today? What would that be?
Wow, that's a good question. The first thing that comes to mind is you are not alone. We are not alone. I think we get so isolated by our stories and our past and the stories we make up in our head. I make up stories in my head all the time that isolate me. So it's really the knowledge, whether with other women, with other people, and with the community at large and with spirit, whatever that means, that love in the world, you're not alone, right? You don't have, even when you feel the most alone, you don't have to go through it alone, right? There's some way for someone, somebody, some being to connect with you. And then the other is that, and it sounds judgmental, I think, and I don't mean that, but we have a choice, right? We have a choice. Even in the worst moments when you don't have a choice, that's okay, right? But when you can get out of that worst moment, there is a choice. There may be a way that you can ease for yourself. You can connect. You can have a glimpse, right? You can have a moment of awe. You can have the comfort of a blanket wrapped around you. You can have something that eases you. And each time you move towards that joy and towards that ease and towards that peace and towards that sense, each time you move there, it becomes a more well-worn path, and you can get there sooner. You can get there sooner. And I don't mean that in any judgmental way, because I say it to myself as I say it, right? But it's in those moments when I don't think I can, or when it hurts, to remember that I'm not alone and I can have a choice. Even if it's not in this moment, I can have a choice how I show up, and I can find a way to choose joy. I truly try to choose joy.
That is great. What a great way to end. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom. We'd love to hear your questions and we'd love to hear your ideas. And so please continue to communicate with us. Go to our website and you can find all the ways to connect with me and with others at Women for One. And be sure to check out Lisa Cohn's writing on Women for One. I know, Lisa, you're a consistent contributor. So thank you for that and for continuing to share your story.
Thank you. I know I posted one just today, and if I'd love to connect with anyone who wants to talk to me, so that'd be great. Thank you, Kara.
Awesome. Thank you.